Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome to Journeys with Rebecca. I am your host, Rebecca Jernigan, taking you on yet another journey today with one of my great guests, Alan Watt. And we're going to be talking more about Alan in just a moment. But boy, have I got some news for you guys. First of all, I invite you to go to the website, and that's journeyswithrebecca.com, because there's a lot of exciting news that's just happening even as we speak. I'd like to say thank you to the next three affiliates of the Journeys family, and you can find that information right there on the main page of Journeys with Rebecca, all the information of the new affiliates that we're now associated with out of United Kingdom, Australia, and Omaha. That's just to name a few. So we're real excited here about that. Also, a special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca, and that would be Fate Magazine. Now, you can find out more about them through www.fatemag.com. And also, Your Never-Ending Life, The Universal's Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. And you can certainly reach him at his website at universallearningseries.com. Now, as you're looking at the website, you want to make sure you check on all the greatest and latest Journeys news, because that's where you're going to find it. And also would like to invite you to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. What that does is inform you as to who the new guests are going to be. And as always, we respect your privacy and do not sell or any way distribute your email address. It's simply for us here so that we can send you the newsletter. And also, don't forget to check out Our World News, because that's where you're going to find some very different news that you're not going to find in mainstream. So let's get back to my guest today. His name is Alan Watt. He's written a book called Cutting Through the Matrix. This interview is going to prove to be a very interesting time. Alan Watt, I had an opportunity to speak with him briefly before today's show, and he has just absolutely got some of the most amazing information that is sure to pique your curiosity and your interest. Don't go away, and we're going to be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca and Alan Watt in just a moment.
Order your collector's edition DVD of Derek Acora Raw, featuring over 3 hours of uncensored, never-before-seen vintage Derek Acora, putting his psychic ability to test inside Hollywood's most famous haunted locations, like the Comedy Store, the Pink Palace, and the Vogue Theater. You'll never see Derek Acora, the world's most televised psychic medium, like this again. Derek Acora Raw, The Lost Hollywood Tapes. Order your collector's DVD now at journeyswithrebecca.com.
Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 in the series, Universal Learning. It introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. It takes you on the journey to the discovery of you, the never-ending eternal spirit. You will develop an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. To learn more or to get your copy, visit www.universallearningseries.com. That's www.universallearningseries.com.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. I have a really spectacular guest today, as I told you earlier. His name is Alan Watt, and he is an author, an educator, musician, esoteric historian, also writes poetry, a man of many, many, many different talents. I'd like to welcome you to the show. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here today.
That's a pleasure, yeah.
And, you know, I guess I need to let everyone know that today we're going to be talking about something called Cutting Through the Matrix. And what I'd like to do is kind of turn that over to you and let you explain to the audience, what does that exactly mean to them, cutting through the matrix?
The matrix is the source and the world you live in at the same time. it's an ongoing programming that gives us what we think is normalcy, which we accept as normalcy, never figuring out that it's just a continuation of a plan, a scientifically created plan that's not new, has been on the go for a long time, and has been written about by many elitists who belong to very wealthy families and are at the head of top organizations with the means and the power to actually implement their plans on the public. We don't realize that we're trained from childhood to take specific roles in society, thinking that simply because everything exists the way it is that we're born into, then it must be natural, and yet nothing is further from the truth. And when you go into the big movers and shakers from mainly the 1700s onwards, you'll find they wrote about the types of society and the changes in society they would create down through the next few hundred years towards what they called a utopia for themselves, but really a form of slavery for the masses. And they would use entertainment, education, and all of the other sciences to actually indoctrinate the students into thinking that it was all quite normal. And this has been ongoing. It's a shock to some people to hear it for the first time. But when you realize that your media is not there to use the Masonic term, inform you within, it truly is there to shape your mind and to tell you what's important, what isn't important. In other words, don't worry about anything, we're in charge. And the public have succumbed and given over their own reasoning powers to the media. They truly believe it is there to do the reasoning for them. So we're being scientifically led along a path towards a definite goal, which has been published and put into movies too. The main authors of the past century, the H.G. Wells, Aldous Huxley types, worked for big government institutions which were working on ways of creating the perfect mass society to be run by a small group of elitists.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right, let's go back to, and this is something that I actually, Alan, had a conversation with a group of people that I used to run around with years ago. We talked about the society that was created and how it was created, and you have just given me the term of 1700s, when this utopia that you called it, that they were creating for themselves, was actually kind of brought forward, and it kind of manifested itself, and then the actions were taken, and you called them the group of the elitist. Besides being the elitist, do they have another name that society might recognize?
Well, we can actually go all the way back to Plato, because they're using a term that Plato used in his book The Republic, written about 2,300 years ago, where he went through this future society, and he called the top class the guardian class. They would be the guardians of all information, culture, creation, and the system. In other words, they would control all of the system, and they would do it. Eventually, they said they would create a society where people would be purpose bred for their tasks that they performed for the elite. And they even talked about eugenics 2,300 years ago. When we jump forward in time, we find the same things being talked about in the 1700s, when we had mystic Kabbalah mixed in as a precursor to communism, really, or socialism, and or metaphysics, really, is what they termed it at the time, where they just instinctively felt they could create a new type of Superman through science, and that evolved into Darwinism, basically social Darwinism, survival of the fittest, the new Superman to come. Out of that came Nazism and communism, and we're seeing the end products today, where science is going full steam ahead at methods of producing purpose-made type clones, which will be specifically raised for the tasks they will do. Right from 2,300 years ago from Plato's Republic. It's incredible when you realize that the world has been run by an esoteric group for thousands of years. And yet it's less incredible when you realize that these are sciences which were taught in ancient times and have been taught down through the centuries to elitists in every generation, but it's been kept quiet from the public.
Okay, so does anyone actually know who these people actually are? I mean,
you know, mainly from the writers that at least front for them, who are generally members of the minor nobility, at least sometimes the higher nobility, the Aldous Huxleys. The Huxleys were for generations involved with Darwinism. Thomas Huxley was the professor who was befriended Charles Darwin and promoted the cause after Darwin died. And then we find his grandson coming out with Brave New World in the 1930s with a whole agenda where people will be raised living on drugs genetically created in laboratories. No individuality amongst them. In fact, not even ability to realize they were a separate, independent thinking being. That was written about in the 1930s. And sure enough, in Brave New World Revisited, which was a non-fiction book, Huxley, who worked with the Tavistock Institute of England in mind control of populations, he admitted in his second book that this was the world they were creating in his non-fiction work. So we see it all today. It's all coming true. The science could go in many different directions, but it isn't. It's been steadily going towards genetics to create new types of life, what they call more perfected worker bees, you might say. And that's where it's all heading today.
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, I can sit back and you know, just kind of let things flow over my mind. And, you know, I absolutely see what you're saying. It's just like the school systems. Everyone is being taught that they have to do and learn and know these things in order to be able to accelerate to the next grade level, et cetera, and so forth. And you know, it's very much a control thing. If you don't send your child to school, if you don't do these things, then obviously you're in trouble with the law, and you're in trouble with the government for not doing these, not following these, this set of criteria. And that's pretty frightening when you stop to think about it. I mean, that makes absolute sense when you take a look at the world in which we live in. And, you know, there's been numerous people that in the recent years have really lambasted the media for their sensationalism and how things are actually reported and what is really reported and that kind of thing. That's come under a lot of scrutiny. This is actually, you know, pretty dynamic stuff here is what you're talking about. You know, cutting through the matrix, you've actually have got three parts to that right now. You have cutting through part one is the androgynous agenda. Number two is the glimpse into the great work. And number three is the esoteric unveiled and the meaning of revelations in the high Masonic tradition. Is there any more to this, or is the third set all of that as far as cutting through the matrix?
Yeah, there's also CDs of the early talks I gave in 1998 on radio to do with the beginnings of religion and how religion itself was important in the establishment of cultures, and also how esoteric religions were practiced by the high priests themselves, which wasn't the general population were not given access to. So there were always a dualistic religion on the go behind religion, with an esoteric side of it too, that the public are basically barred for, and it definitely working towards a great type of work, as they say in Masonry. That's what it's founded upon, creating new types of humans. It's always been the goal of esoteric groups, perfecting humanity, as they call it.
Well, and you know, talking about people living on genetically manufactured drugs. You know, I've had the privilege of actually interviewing many traditional doctors here on this show, and many of them will talk about the fact that we are biological beings being treated with non-biological drugs and therapies, and that's not what the body was intended for. So we even have, you know, I mean, there's people out there that still know what the truth is, obviously, because they're standing against what we're talking about here today, which I think is, you know, that's pretty viable and pretty valuable that we're not all, you know, caught up in the scenario that we all have probably felt that there was many things wrong. And it looks like you've probably put this all together so that we can really figure out where does this stem from, what's the purpose behind it, and then I think that's going to help people clear their paths a little bit to figure out what they now need to do to not be part of all of that. And I think this is a great thing that you're doing here, is by bringing this into the forefront. Obviously, it's controversial for many people to listen to this, but I think this is stuff is what's important, because we do need to know what the truth is. We cannot evolve as spirit beings, as individuals, if we get caught up in being part of the matrix. I think that's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a fact. We're so well conditioned scientifically, and you'll find a lot of this proof is written about by one of the main leaders in culture creation, put out by the elite, and he was Lord Bertrand Russell, who was born in the 1800s and lived through a good part of the 1900s. He studied philosophy mainly, but he also studied how cultures were created, manipulated, altered, so that the public never realized that they were being shaped along a certain course which the elite themselves had pre-planned. And this should be continued, he said in his writings. There's a book he wrote called Roads to Freedom, era in the 1900s, and another one called Education and the Good Life. Now, he was given permission by the British royalty to establish private schools, experimental schools, which did things which would be banned maybe even today, I don't know. But certainly at that time it was very risque, because he got mixed schools, and he encouraged pre-puberty sex contact between the male and the females to see what effect it would have in their later years. And they found that if they encouraged this type of sexual contact, with no holds barred, no stigma attached to it, then those children would raise up and never really need a permanent marriage partner, because marriage, according to Russell and all the groups behind them, marriage had to be destroyed to control the individual. Because marriage, even two people in a sense, are the smallest remnant of a tribal system. So the government wanted direct control to the individual, and they had to destroy the male and female connection. So he wrote about his experiments from his own schools in Education and the Good Life. And he said in that book, now this is a British lord, a long lineage type British lord, writing about it. And he said, the elite, used to believe we would eventually have to take every child from the mother as soon as it was born and raise it by the state to give it the perfect values. He said, but now we've found through scientific indoctrination, if we can get the children as young as 2 years old at kindergarten, we can scientifically induce the system into them so that their parents will be unable to pass on their own moral values to that child. And that's when they decided to go ahead with kindergarten rather than the communist style of removing the child from the mother at birth.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. And look at the state our marriages are in today.
Yes, they knew they'd have to destroy marriage.
Well, I unfortunately think that they've done a...
complete job.
Yeah, that's sad. Oh, my goodness. That, I don't even know what, that's just giving me the bad goose willies there, Alan. That's just so unfortunate.
Yeah.
And this was a British lord that did this.
A British lord with the authority and backing of the British crown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anything recent on them, though, Alan? I mean, you know.
Yeah, we can go on from there, and then we find another famous player in history. Was again Charles Galton Darwin.
Yes.
The grandson of Charles Darwin, who in the 1950s, and being a physicist, he wrote a book called The Next Million Years, and how they would control it. They're the same elite, which is quite the boast. But in that book, he said there are too many commoners being born. Eventually, there'll be a point where they'll overcome and overwhelm the elite, the carriers of the superior genes. He said, so we have to reduce the population drastically. And then he went on to methods of removing the natural instincts of the population to control them. And he said we could do it chemically through inoculation. He said we could also alter the physiognomy of the people by giving them serums which would affect their hormonal drives and make the men more effeminate and the women more masculine. And sure enough, we see the effects of all this today. It has been done. Incredible things are happening. And nothing happens out of the blue on such a scale that isn't caused by man. And yet the media flip over it as though it's quite a natural change. It somehow just had to happen. They don't give you the reasons why anything did happen. But this was intentional. Galton Darwin talked about the use of estrogen, superdoses of it, either put into the drinking water, the inoculations, spraying it from the air, putting it in the food, all different methods of doing so. And then we go back to some of the big baby food companies, which tie right into that. Now, they made it a fad in the 1950s to suddenly start getting special baby food. This is the age of science, you see, and science was to become the new dictator. And Bertrand Russell said, we shall train the public to listen to the opinions of experts only, and so that they won't trust their own opinions, they'll have to listen to the experts. And they've done that. Well, in the 1950s, companies like Procter & Gamble and other ones produced the baby foods. And only about 5 or 6 years ago have they admitted that the fluid that they sterilized those little baby jars with just happened to be a synthetic form of estrogen. What a coincidence.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, uh-huh. And that's how it's presented always, as just being some big coincidence. But isn't it strange that every coincidence falls in line with an agenda that was written so long ago?
Oh, Alan, oh my goodness, that just absolutely freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. So are they still doing this practice, or have we prevented that from just...
Well, the xenoestrogens, as they're called, these artificial or synthetic estrogens, are in all plastics. And of course, they made it the fad for plastic bottled water, and they made it a yuppie thing, and now you see them walking about with plastic bottled water. It's an all plastic, so
okay.
Get away from plastics altogether, because that's what contains it.
Oh, oh my goodness. Alan, hang on. We're out of time on this segment, but we are going to be back. You guys, do not go away. We'll be back with Alan Watt and Cutting Through the Matrix right after the break.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now. 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores and online.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Alan Watt. We are talking about cutting through the matrix. And my goodness, I hope that everyone out there that is listening will please instruct anyone that they know to go back and listen to the show again. It's always going to be in archives because this is information that is a must-not-miss information with Alan Watt here today. You know, Alan, I appreciate all the information that you've shared with us, but you know, it kind of sounds like here that, you know, there's something here that, besides being aware, what can we do? What is this actually all about? What, you know, I got a million questions.
Yeah, I think all down through the ages, and this has been written about copiously by governments of all kinds, so from kings and queens and courtiers to the present democratic types, is how much freedom do you give the public balanced with law? How much restrictions can you put on them and still have them cope? And of course, they came up with the idea, if the public literally couldn't think for themselves, then they would have no more trouble with the public. So where did they go from there? Well, they talk about creating a new type of human through genetics, through scientific engineering, and they've done experiments on the brain. Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World. He worked for Tavistock Institute. He had a lecture on my website that he gave at Berkeley in about 1962, and he talks about sticking wires in brains of humans and how you can control them. Now it's down to the chip, of course, where they're going. They want to eliminate the individual sentient being from existing amongst the workers, the worker bees, that is. And like Charles Galt in Darwin's book, The Next Million Years, he said, we, the elite, of course, shall not alter ourselves, because this will destroy the individual's ability for self-preservation. And since we are guiding the ship of Earth, we must remain intact. So it's only for the rest of the populace that they want to alter the physical brain of the person. Now, as Huxley talked about, the wires in the brain leading up to a chip in the brain, that's actually where they're going, because at the World Science Meeting at Loyola University in Louisiana in 2001, I think it was, they said that this chip for the brain is ready. And all they have to do now is convince the public to take it. And the scientists from Tokyo, and this meeting, by the way, was sponsored and paid for by the U.S. Department of Commerce. And Newt Gingrich headed it off.
Oh.
And they said this chip is ready to go. They will encourage the public to take it either through fear, that's terror, which is happening now, for safety. They will promote it through movies, films, and even cartoons. Write it into novels is a plus thing, you see, a favorable thing. And sure enough, the films are already out there since that meeting. And youngsters see it in their cartoons with their heroes with the chips. They can do amazing things, and that's how they're promoting this. It's a natural evolution, you might say. But then the scientists from Tokyo said the real purpose will eventually kick in. They said because there will be no more individuality. The people will be hooked up to regional computers that will control what they do, what they work at, and they said it will be virtually impossible to even perceive of yourself as a distinct, separate individual. He said to think of it more like the beehive.
Well, you know, one of the things that came out a few years ago is they came out with this chip that was supposed to be designed for, he was talking about being fear-based, and this chip was supposed to be implanted into people that had quote-unquote medical conditions.
Yeah.
And then also to put into your children so if they ever got lost, they could be put on the Amber Alert list and could be tracked. And, you know, so yeah, so that much I did know about that brain chip. I just didn't realize that that was the actual ultimate end purpose. I thought it was more for just kind of keeping track of people and so that you really, but yeah, absolutely, you can lose your individuality through it. It would be something that when I hear about that, I tell people, oh, absolutely don't do that, not unless you just want your life taken away. But I didn't know to what extent. Oh, my heavens. That's just, this is all, it's so barbaric. So I guess then their ultimate goal then would be that the elitists would be in control and charge and the rest of us are just going to be mindless.
That is right.
And that's their end goal. What a lonely place to be.
Yes. You know, it reminded me of the Star Trek series where they met the Borg.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the Borg were exactly that. They were connected to a central computer. They had no individual characteristics of their own. They were called the Hive.
Right.
And that's what they said at the science meeting. They actually used that very same term. Think of it more like the Hive, where everybody's in their place and working in their place, and central regional or regional computers will be sending thoughts to their heads and back. And he says you'll hear other people's thoughts and instructions whispering through your head. Now that's just like the Borg on Star Trek.
Oh, what an awful place to be.
And no individuality.
No, that just doesn't seem right. So let's carry this one step further, because you've given, you know, I know you've just touched the tip of the iceberg with all this information. Mm-hmm. But what can we do? You know, I told you that in the, you know, when we were on commercial break, I said to you, I said, well, you know, one of the things that I have quit doing is when I go to the grocery store, I do not get plastic bags. I buy my milk in glass jugs. You know, I just, it just felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me that this, all of our plastics have, you know, have this, and I'm just like, oh, heavens, what can we do? What is there that we can do?
Yeah, you always watch how prevalent culture is pushed and promoted and do the opposite. And so when they push the bottled water in plastic bottles, don't use them, because that xenoestrogen that's in that plastic, that soft plastic, gives off this gas all the time. And it goes into the water and you drink it, and it does affect your hormones big time, which affects your mental state as well. This was understood before they gave us the plastic bottles, because they wrote so much about it back in the 50s. So everything that they're doing is on schedule. It's according to an agenda, which you can read about. I've got lots of interviews on my website with lots more information going into detail on this. And try also not to get inoculations for any purpose, because when you go back to the old meetings of even the League of Nations, which transformed into the United Nations, at the very beginning in 1917, they had a Department of Population Control. And even there they had world meetings where they discussed inoculating and sterilizing the public via inoculations. And I think they've been doing it, actually.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
Here's a question that, in regards to the inoculations, most children cannot get into school if they are not inoculated.
Yeah.
What can you do to bypass that if you want to choose to put your child in a public school system?
You can fight it, because so far it isn't actual law. It might be policy, but it's not law, although they try to tell you it is.
Okay.
And many teachers, many parents have got forms and filled them out, and you're exempt from those inoculations. You don't have to take them at all. It's not actually law yet.
Well, and you know, it's interesting when you're talking about the inoculations. Also, they're saying that these inoculations has also been attributed to a higher increase of people with autism as well.
Oh, it's a fantastic increase.
Yes, and it has caused a lot of issues. And I also feel like that, you know, these inoculations are part of a grander scheme, and you've obviously told me that, but I always thought, no, I think there's worse to that, because we see such an increase in, first of all, you were talking about people wanting to have children, a huge amount of infertility in this country. There's also a huge increase in different, all kinds of strange and bizarre cancers. Mm-hmm. And that would be from all the chemicals and everything that they've put in, as you said, in all of our plastic jugs and our foods, everything. I mean, this is all, you know, as you're sitting here telling me this, I'm like, well, this is all part of a bigger scheme of things, and that would control the population. It also helps to generate, obviously, a lot of money for people who are cancer patients, because there's big, huge dollars in that for people to get cured from the cancer that they've created to begin with. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, you find even with Dr. Salk, who gave us the polio vaccine, and I'm actually dubious that it had anything to do with polio in the first place, but I do have an old video of him admitting that he knew, amongst all the hundreds of live viruses, monkey viruses, because they grew this virus on monkey tissue, merely kidney. He said the simian 40 virus was a virus that only seemed to have one function, and that was to cause cancer. And he knew that that was in every shot that was given. And then he said, "But we thought the risk outweighed the benefits outweighed the risk." He said, and so they went forward with it. And sure enough, it's like a time delayed cancer, and people now are coming down with cancers much earlier and earlier. So this was done on purpose. They knew what they were doing, and it came after world meetings, even at the League of Nations, long before that, where they talked about that very thing: how do we reduce the population? And they came up with two approaches to it. In the West, where there was media coverage and some education, they realized they couldn't do a sudden kill on the public or a quick sterilization on the public. So they would introduce slow-acting, debilitating diseases, which would make a person, say, with chronic fatigue syndrome, ineligible as a prospective marriage partner. So that was one for the West, the slow crippling forms of disease. Whereas with Africa, because they didn't have any power, no influence in the world, they could do a quick kill. And we saw the AIDS introduced to Africa, which is decimating it. So they've followed what they said a long time before that. They're doing it.
Yeah. How abominable. How abominable. Mm-hmm. This really needs to stop. And I am absolutely so grateful for you to be on this show and sharing this information. I know that your website, as you talked about, has just a ton of information, and as we've been sitting here, I've been kind of scrolling through it. There's massive quantities of information on your website. So if you would be so kind as to let people know how they can get a hold of you, what your website is, and any other information that you would like to share with them, because I think this is just too important to pass up.
Hey, I think if they realize that this is a battle for the last of many generations, countless generations of the public, it's a battle to retain your consciousness, and not only retain it, to regain it into what it should be in the first place, a real, true reality, and to ensure that those who come after us have the same rights to be born and healthy, and to have the ability to develop as independent, living, sentient creatures. That's of prime importance. We are at the last phase of this right now, and we must speak out now about what's happening, and just say no more, enough is enough, and to tell the elitists and those in governments that we know what's going on, we have the evidence, we see it with our own eyes too, apart from the documentation, and we're not going to have it anymore. We've got to do it now, because we are in the final battle for this.
Well, and I couldn't agree with you more, and so I urge each and every one of you to go to his website. What is that address again?
It's cuttingthroughthematrix.com.
Very simple, just like what we've been talking about, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Now, also, for those of you who may not have gotten that information, you will be able to click over directly from my website to Alan Watt website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, by just clicking on the link. You know, Alan, I think this subject matter is so very vital and important that I would like to invite you back here while we're sitting here talking. I'd like to invite you back. We're going to get a little bit more specified in our next conversation if you'd be interested in coming back as I do a little bit more research on this. And please, for those of you out there listening, if you have a question or comment on today's show, please do not hesitate to write mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com because I'd like to hear more about it. I think this is just way too important. So if there's anybody else that'd like to share some information, we'd love to hear from you. Alan, this has just been absolutely eye-opening, stupendous. I cannot thank you enough for being here on the show today. And again, his website is cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Alan, thank you so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Stephen McKay, co-host of Up All Night with Mac and Travis. In L.A., your chance of seeing a ghost and a celebrity just got better. Ghost Expeditions is back from New Orleans, and better than ever. It's no wonder why everyone from psychic James Von Prague, actors Drew Carey, Delta Burke, Scott Baio, and so many others have participated in Ghost Expeditions. And now you can, too, for a limited time, that is. Ghost Expeditions, Fall 2006, only in Los Angeles. It'll change your way of interacting with the paranormal. Make your reservations now exclusively at journeyswithrebecca.com. That's www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal. Angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 1-800-728-2730 or visit the website at www.fatemag.com. Again, the number is 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back to Journeys. And today we have a very special guest in the studio with me today. He didn't surprise me today, so that was really good. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Stephen McKay.
Hello there, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad on this beautiful day.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Could you ask for anything better?
No.
Like about 80 degrees and a few clouds.
Yeah, nice little breeze. Life is sweet.
It is.
It's kind of nice because here in my studio I do have a window so we can look out, and it's really very pleasant.
You know what kills me is that, you know, we're kind of in the middle of Johnson County, for people that don't know. It's, you know, well-populated city, Kansas City is, and we have the most amazing animal life that we can see outside of our window right here in the middle of town. I mean, besides the squirrels, you got the ground squirrels, you got tree squirrels, you got, I mean, just all kind of rabbits. It's amazing.
Oh, and let's not forget about the lovely snake that also passed by one day.
Oh, yeah, well,
we don't care about that. Let's not talk about snakes. They're kind of goofy for me. Yeah.
You know, Stephen, I have a question for you. First of all, I guess we need to let everyone know that you're here from a show that you do called Up All Night with Mac and Travis.
That's correct.
And
you've come on my show many times.
Yes, I have. I've actually
answered the questions from my listeners about the strange and unknown.
That's right. That's absolutely true. So now you're here because you have some questions for me.
Yeah,
again,
well,
now imagine that, guys.
Imagine that. Well, we delve into all kinds of topics. We're not really a paranormal show. We're two army guys talking about crap is what we how we approach things. But we got in a conversation. We had a listener call in and discuss this and the Ouija board.
Oh.
And actually, the story goes, this is actually a friend of mine, a lady friend of mine, had this particular story about the Ouija board. When she was young, I guess about 14 or 15, her and her girlfriends, they lived on a farm, went out to a barn, and they got the Ouija board out. First time they'd ever done it. And they started, you know, doing whatever it is to a Ouija board, you know, calling out for spirits to come and visit and all that. And woman in a white dress appeared in one of the walls of the barn. And she said they all got up and ran out of the barn immediately, just totally freaked out that this woman would appear just walking out of the wall of the barn. So we had quite a lively conversation about Ouija boards, and I want to know from an expert what it is. What is the deal about it? I've heard so much about it.
Well, and it is a topic of great controversy, first of all. And that being said, let's put it into perspective, because the Fuld brothers, F-U-L-D, Fuld brothers, were the ones that actually developed this in the times when spiritualists were huge, where they would have spiritualists come in and sit in the parlors, and basically what they were was people that were either mediums or psychics or wannabes. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there were some charlatans involved with that. But
it kind of sounds like the enlightened time compared to now.
Well, really, pretty much. I mean, it was the social thing to do. You know, it really was. It was the social thing to do for people. And at some point, they were actually, you know, marketing this Ouija board, the one that we now know as the Ouija board. And the Parker brothers came along and decided that they wanted to buy it, and it became a game. They then changed the Ouija board and made it a Parker Brothers game, and then it got out on the shelves of all the toy stores. Bad, bad, bad thing to do. It is not a toy. It's not a game. It can be fun. It can be exciting,
well,
but it's a tool.
How in the world did they come up with that would be a game? Because I don't think there's a winner in it, is it?
No, you know, there's no winner or loser.
If three people are playing, there's nobody that's going to be the winner. So it's kind of weird that they would pick that as a game. It's
right.
More like a...
Well, that's how they marketed it. You can go to any toy store and buy it.
We're going to play with the spirits.
Yeah, and that's because they didn't believe that it worked. Okay?
Okay,
so it being a tool, just like anything else. Now, let me tell you what spirits do. When it's all about intent. Your intent was, as it was with those girls, is that they wanted to contact somebody to tell them something that isn't on this plane of existence that they are, to tell them their future or to answer questions, whatever the case may be. So that Ouija board becomes a telephone. Now, unless the phone rings, they're not going to pick it up and answer it. So the Ouija board acts like a telephone. So when you pick it up, you and somebody else, and you decide to use it, then it rings, as so to speak, into the spirit world. And they go, oh, somebody wants to chat. Okay? Now, my perception of it with this story that you gave to me was that the spirit that showed up in the barn was a loving spirit. A good spirit. Now, because people think of this as a game and they're skeptical when they go into it, then they can actually draw into them the bad spirits, not into them themselves, but into their area. So because it is a tool, it needs to be treated with reverence.
It sounds like to me that you have to have the right operator or...
You have to have the right intent.
As you put it, well, okay, is it intent? Because you could get the wrong number, and you could get somebody that's...
You hang up.
Okay.
You just hang up.
You know where to hang up.
Well, if it doesn't feel right, it's not. Trust that instinct. And, you know, I used to teach classes on that. I taught people how to use it and how to contact in the appropriate manner by keeping the energies very clear. And if the answers that they get or the information that they get doesn't seem right, it isn't right. Disconnect. Hang up the phone and then try it again at a different time.
I see.
You just disconnect. You don't keep that up. I mean, would you invite it? You know, if there's an intruder, you wouldn't invite them into your house.
Right.
It's the same thing. If it doesn't feel right, then it isn't. Because you can get very valuable information from the spirit world with simple questions. Now, they can't get too involved. Obviously, it's limited. Otherwise, you'd be there for hours having a paragraph being, you know, stated to you.
Now, can you talk to individuals? A specific individual that maybe passed on, or is
well, you can try.
The same as the
again,
spirit?
Let me understand. Let you understand that a spirit world is one that it has free will as well. Just because you ask for them to come forward doesn't mean that they will.
Right.
But
right.
Yes, you can certainly ask for ancestors or others to come forward. That doesn't mean that it's actually the right thing to do. You need to always look at why would you ask that person to come forward. Right. What's the point?
Right. You know, during our show, we play funny sound effects.
Right.
And we're in the studio, so we have to play one sound effect for you while I'm here.
Okay.
Because we're talking about weed. Okay, so let me ask you. Bad spirits, are there, I don't know, are there a bunch of them? I mean,
well, I don't.
Just,
I've never taken a poll, but I can tell you that that I'm sure there's just quite as many of those as there are of the good ones. And it's all about who you are as an individual and what do you wish to attract to you and into your life.
Right.
And so, you know, I've worked throughout the years helping people and assist them with making sure that they're contacting the right form for them, for themselves. Right. And so if you have a bad spirit, you don't get scared of them. You simply dismiss them because that's your right.
Could you dial up the same, you know, every time, like your spirit guide, could you get that, communicate with that same one in that method all the time?
It's been known to happen, yes. Where the one individual, so to speak, will come forward and speak on the board. So, for people that would like some more information on that, I'd be happy to share. They just need to, you know, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, and I'd certainly be happy to assist them with that. But, yeah, it's not a toy. It's not a game. It works. You know, and it's all about the intent.
Yeah.
Well, does that help for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's cool. And we're going to have some, hopefully we'll get together and do some EVP and reverse speech here soon, too.
Yes, and that's always so much fun.
A joint adventure there.
Yes, yes, and we'll definitely share that. Here on Journeys with Rebecca as well, because I think that would just be so much fun. So you guys look forward to that, okay? Because that's something that we will be presenting here within the next few weeks, I'm sure. So, and
Halloween coming in.
Oh, you know, and you guys cannot miss the Halloween show out there because we have got something very wonderful planned here in the Journeys household. So you are just going to have fun with the Halloween show. And, you know, if you have a ghost story, go ahead, submit it. mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, and hopefully we can get that put into the whole theme there for the Halloween show. Stephen McKay, thank you so much for joining us.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
For the first time ever, the lost tapes showcasing Derek Acora have been found and are available when you order your collector's DVD of Derek Acora Raw, The Lost Hollywood Tapes. Over 2 hours showcasing never-before-seen, uncensored psychic medium Derek Acora in action during his first visit to Hollywood nearly a decade ago. Tested alongside U.S. psychics by parapsychologist Dr. Larry Muntz. Order now to add Derek Acora Raw to your DVD library. Available now at JourneysWithRebecca.com.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to FateMag.com.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.